there, you'll see it there as well. And for some, it might look like some people having a lazy cycle ride, but actually, that is warfare right there. That is an aspect of the battle. And you guys know we did the Jericho cycle, which we completed successfully 2 weeks ago now already. Seven times around Table View, claiming Table View for Jesus, trusting that the walls of separation between man and God in this city will come crashing down. And we did this in obedience to the Lord, and the Lord said, it's harvest time, now it's time to go in and infiltrate the city. Okay? After the Israelites circled and the walls came down, they didn't just stand there and have a picnic. Then they went in. And the Lord is giving us strategy to go in. And the Lord has prepared people's hearts that we can go and minister to people who are ready to receive the gospel. Not everyone in Table View is ready at this time, but everyone will certainly receive the message of the gospel and have an opportunity to respond. Certain people are ready. Certain people are allotted to other churches by the Holy Spirit, and certain people are allotted to this church. The Lord wants us to also cast our net. Okay. And so we're going to go in, and we've got opportunities. For instance, the end of each month, we go in here and walk the streets around here. And we'll also soon be inviting people to our, what I like to think of as our outreach family service. We're going to start a morning service in May, still be letting everyone know about that. I think most people are aware of that already, and so that's exciting. It's an outreach opportunity, and we're going to invite people. We've got nice, beautiful little flyers printed and all of that. So we'll be inviting people ahead of our morning service launch, and there'll be various opportunities. Remember the I Love My Table View. I know I'm preaching to the converted tonight, but that we can remind each other and our friends and the small groups, every opportunity, every time we get together is an opportunity to bring people, to invite people, whether it be church, small group, our socials, our picnics, you know, whatever it is. It's an opportunity to bring someone to our prayer meeting, bring someone to whatever, you know, it's an opportunity to reach out. Just as there's unsaved people that need to get saved, and obviously certain opportunities will be more appropriate for them, there's also prodigal sons and daughters that have walked away from God's plans and purposes. They've walked away from church, and we need to go and fetch them as well. The prodigals need to come home as well. And so we just need to be open at your work, in your neighborhood. We'll be salting the city. Now, I often pride myself, some people might not think of it in the same way, but that I minister and I preach the ABCs of the gospel, and I like to think I know more than just the ABCs, but I can't steer away from it. It is something the Lord constrains me to, just to bring the gospel in simplicity. And in this season as well, you know, it's something that I'll be focusing on, and through our outreach services, I like to think that everyone has an opportunity to respond to the basic core message of the gospel. Tonight, I'm repackaging it, not the ABCs, but the EFGs. Okay, so if the A's is, you know, getting saved, and the B's getting baptized, and the C's, you know, getting spirit-filled with a capital C, and the D is getting delivered, you know. Tonight we're going to look at the EFGs and maybe the H. Let's see how our time goes tonight. So we're just repackaging it. So this one is a grappie, but if we go to the next slide. Okay, the title registration is open. I'd like to point you to our first portion of scripture in Acts chapter 17. And this is where Paul is in Athens with all the Greek philosophers there. And I think he's quite freaked out by what he sees. This is his response. He couldn't contain himself anymore when he saw a statue to the unknown God. he had to respond. Okay, and he's there. I can imagine him there in a on a type of a plane, Mark plane or whatever, you know, there kind of a courtyard or something like that, or you know, in the open, and he sees the statue and there's people sitting around. I mean, if you've traveled through Eastern Europe and so on, you find that the men, they will sit drinking tea or coffee, you know, on the street corners, and they'll be like sort of gathered in little groups chatting. The men, one wonders, you know, how they make a living. Okay, someone has an uncle who's got a carpet shop or something like that. But somehow the men are always all day, seemingly, they spend talking and, you know, over maybe a cup of tea or a game of, I don't know what, Baccarat or something. These Greeks now, they are now philosophers on top of that. They speak in circles and very deep and supposedly meaningful conversations. And Paul now responds to them with a very powerful sermon. You can go and read it there in Acts chapter 17. I'm just zooming in on a few verses because we don't have all night here. But something that struck me that from this passage of Scripture is that word commands over there in verse 30. But I'm going to read that for you. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God now commands all people everywhere to repent. The next verse, because he has set a day when he's going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Okay, it's a strong message of Paul telling the Greek philosophers that we serve the one true God who has always existed and who has created everything that we can see and who loves all of humankind and commands them now to repent because there's a judgment day coming. Okay. The word commands. I can sort of understand Paul's urgency. I'm feeling an urgency in what he's saying here. He's totally freaked out and he realizes these people are blinded. These people are heading to where you don't want to go one day when you die. Okay. Whether you're still wrestling with that or not, it is a reality. There's a heaven and a hell. And these people are unfortunately on their way to hell. You know, this is, as believers, earth is the closest place we're going to get to hell. That is comforting on the one hand. For an unbeliever, unfortunately, it's the closest they'll get to heaven. And that's less comforting because the world's not always a very nice place to be. Paul strongly, he makes a strong appeal here. He urges them, saying, God commands. I mean, this is the truth. Obviously, he's not lying here. God commands. Why does God command? Why is it not a suggestion? Why is it not a good idea for you to repent now? You know, because for God, there's no alternative. This is why he created us, to know him, to be in relationship with him, to experience and receive his love. He knows there's no alternative. If you do not repent, that is eternal death, eternal separation from your creator. That is not an option. It is a command. You have to do it, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it yet or not. Repent. You know what repentance means, turning away from your wicked ways and placing your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. This is what needs to happen. And Paul says there's no alternative. And this urgency and that word command, it reminded me something of wartime. I know a few weeks ago we spoke about it, the fact that this is, we are in a battle. This is war. We don't always understand it like that. We don't always feel like we're in a war because, you know, we're quite comfortable. We're not lying, ducking in a trench with bullets flying overhead. But in reality, in the spiritual realm, that is happening. And we're still very sheltered here in South Africa. Other parts of the world, not so much so. And for them, it's more of a reality. But you see, we can easily get into a comfort zone and a holy huddle here. And so we need to break out of that because there's people lost and dying in the spiritual battle in Tableview on our doorsteps. There are people dying around the corner here. And if you join us on Mercy Sundays, you'll see what we're talking about. You don't have to walk 20 meters to find someone who's busy dying. And spiritually, most importantly, dying, needing help. And we've got the answer. We've got the answer. In a sense, this is a hospital on a battlefield, this place. But we need to get well, and we all well here, and then if the soldier is well, he needs to go back out onto the battlefield. Remember the Pentons, they said they wanted to put a plucker up there, now entering the mission field when you leave the church. Very true. Now entering the battlefield, you can say as well. The Bible is full of symbols and pictures and phrases that denote the fact that we are in a war. Talks about our enemy, obviously our adversary, Satan. There's an entity out there that wants you dead, Satan. We're only standing here by the grace of God. He's a powerful adversary, but God is more powerful. Before we came to know Christ, the enemy didn't care much about us because we were already on the losing team. He's fighting for people that he wants to influence and to get on his side of the battle, you see. Now that we've joined, and obviously the Lord, we were oblivious to this war because the Lord God is a God of love and he just wants to love us to him. There's not a threat to our existence. As soon as we joined forces with Jesus Christ and we joined the winning team, we now have an adversary who wants to kill us. Okay? And he's after us. And I think some of us have experienced these kinds of trials and tribulations and attacks of the enemy before. But it's a reality. I mean, the Bible speaks of principalities and powers, a weeping and a gnashing of teeth, putting on your full armor, taking thoughts captive, the imprisonment of Paul and stoning and crucifixion of Jesus. These are very graphic pictures and events that took place that help to show us that we are in a battle which can manifest in the natural as well. And for many people out there has already. People are dying out in the trenches in a very real way. There's been more martyrs in the last 100 years in the preceding 1,900 years put together. It's a real battle that we are in. And that's something that I became acutely aware of shortly after getting saved as well, traveling on the underground tubes in London and so on. And suddenly, and my spiritual eyes were opened for the first time. And I started seeing things for the first time that I'd never noticed before. How certain posters and adverts were so blatantly against the kingdom of God. And so blatantly influencing and kind of brainwashing people, keeping them under the enemy's sway. And just evil and wickedness manifest in people around me and things in newspapers and things that people were saying. And it is, you know, I just experienced it's a violent world that we are living in. And there's violence being done to our spirits on a daily basis. And by God's grace, when we get home at night and whatever, we can receive healing for our spirits and our hearts like that. But it's a battle out there, and I was so aware of that. And I just wanted to get out of London. I was like, this is Sin City. You know, I don't remember Stellenbosch like this. I just want to get out of here. And I got out to the Platteland, and there it was a struggle for me as well. There wasn't a church. I was the only believer for miles. I didn't know anyone else. And but the Lord took me aside, and he started teaching me from his scriptures. But the number one thing and priority for me was to get back to SA and to equip myself. And that's where the E of the EFG starts. Okay, equip. All right. So you saved, you spiritful, you baptized. In other words, you've been born properly into the kingdom of God. What happens next? You need to get yourself equipped because you're in a battle. You cannot stay a baby in a wartime scenario and live very long. Okay. You need to get equipped. You need to get your armor on, the full armor of God. Right. I'm going to take a few scriptures out of 2 Timothy. I really love the pastoral epistles of Timothy and Titus. Really ministers to me, obviously, in my capacity, my function that I fulfill, but also it was, you know, type of a Timothy. This was prophesied over me in Malawi on my first outreach. And so it's very special to me always, and I've read through it many times. And I'd like to start with this scripture, which you know very well, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scriptures inspired by God is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Okay, so what we find there, just go back to that. What we find there is that, yes, equipping through the Word of God, this is what we're talking about, getting equipped through the Scriptures. But what you also see inherent in that Scripture is that it's you need of teaching, you need of someone to teach you. It's not something you're just going to do on your own. I was barely surviving out there with my Bible on my own in the sticks outside of Stratford. And I needed to get a church. I needed a Bible school. That's what I was looking for. And we need to be taught. There's more than just you and the Bible in that picture, in that scripture. Sometimes we need to be rebuked. That is when something you're doing or something that you think regarding scripture comes up against the Word of God, and you need to change. You are wrong in that assumption, and you need to get a rebuke. You need to be sent in the right direction, and it's difficult, like change or like being shown that you're wrong. It's humbling, and we need that from time to time. We need to realize that we need to remain teachable, and we need to remain humble, knowing that we don't know everything, and that God will put people in our life to help teach us, and that's the safety of being planted in a church and being submitted under authority, is that God can now channel and He can work with you, and you can be taught and you can be corrected. We need to be trained in righteousness. That is grammatically training in righteousness. What is that? Present continuous tense. Okay, it's a continuous process. Okay, it's never going to end. You're never going to arrive. Now I've been trained in righteousness, complete, finished. No, it's a continuous process, but it is required so that we can be equipped for the works that God will bring across our path. Okay, so we need that completely. You are righteous. God sees you as righteous through the blood of Christ, but you still need training. We still need to manifest. We still need the outworking of our righteousness through our words and our deeds. It still needs to happen. We need to train. An athlete runs around a track many, many years before he ever goes to the Olympics to maybe run it around once in under 40 seconds or something like that. That'll be pretty fast. Okay. But for years and years, and it becomes second nature. The guy, he can stand, you know, in the starting blocks, and when the gun goes, he goes. His body knows what to do. He knows, you know, when to kick in and everything. He's been trained. It becomes second nature. Okay. And the more you train yourself, the more natural it will become, the more natural you'll react under those circumstances. And for the same way, we need to be trained by Scripture. We need to stay in the Scripture over and over, like when you're reading. How many times can you read the Bible in your life? Well, hopefully, Umyan, he will go probably for 70 or 80 times reading the Bible in his life. I mean, that is awesome. Going around that track so many times. So when he finds himself in a situation, more and more, he'll react like Christ in that situation because he's been trained. Okay, and we need to get there. Okay. Training in righteousness. Obviously, as a church, we've got various, you know, discipleship is high up on our agenda, because we realize we're in a war. We've got to raise up spiritual soldiers for God. Okay, so our vision, who can recite our vision? You don't see it anywhere around here. It's meant to be in our hearts. Who knows the vision of our church? Petrus. To reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. Very good. As a couple, they got it right. Okay. All right. Okay. So we realize that we aren't going to change the world unless we ourselves are discipled. Okay. So we got to get discipled. So the Lord has given us amazing tools to disciple one another and to get discipled. And that is our spiritual growth series, our foundation, aka the foundation course. 5 parts, also Bible school, which we started this year. These are awesome opportunities. Obviously, what happens in church and small group also lends to that. That is where we also get built up in our faith, where we rub off on each other and strengthen each other. Okay, this is all important, but discipleship, very key, equipping. So I was very excited when I got back to South Africa and I was looking around, scrambling around for a church that is Bible-based and where I'm going to grow. And I almost got despondent and I was booking my flight back home when I got a Shofar Bible School brochure in the post box. And I knew the instant I saw that, I knew my prayers were answered. And I walked into that Bible school. I think it was the next night, was the opening session. You know, so I got a mail on a Monday. Tuesday, I was in Bible school and I didn't even know about Shofar then, and got into Bible school. And I just, it was almost like getting born again. And I just knew, this is my family. This is my family. This is where God wants to raise me up, where He wants to equip me. And it was so awesome. I immediately felt a kinship with the people. They know God the same way that I know God. And I just slotted in. I signed up for everything. All the foundation courses, the Bible school. You know, I went to ask, where can I start serving? And at Prochorus, all of that. I just signed. I was phoning my cell group leader every day. When are you going to invite me to cell? You know, it was really, it was my priority. And I'd love it if we can have that same kind of a mindset, that same priority, that same focus to get trained up so that we can go out and be a blessing and serve more and more. Obviously, we are blessings, we more and more. Okay. The second one, the F of EFG, is fearless. Now, if you want to be a soldier of God, if you're on the battlefield, you cannot afford to be fearful. What use is it if you're just staying in the trenches there and the battle's like 10 kilometers away and your mates are all out there fighting the battle and you're just hiding there? You might as well go home. Okay. Now, we've got to realize that we all, whether we like it or not, we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Is war out there. Okay, so we've been saved, and you don't really have an option. You know, in the military, giving my age away, yeah, you guys know how old I am anyway. But when I was in Standard 8, there's your first clue, not Grade 10, Standard 8. Then military service was still compulsory in South Africa, and some friendly people came from the military to our school and told us how awesome it is and the forms that we're going to have to fill in, you know, and all of that. It was compulsory. Unless you have some kind of a handicap that prevents you from going, you're going to go. Now, as able-bodied believers, we are all considered able-bodied and ready for service, ready for the army and for the war that's out there. So we don't really have a choice. You know, after a little while of, you know, trying to witness, evangelize, I was getting a bit despondent because I didn't see anyone's lives change. And obviously, I still had a lot to learn, but I was doing my level best. You know, I've mentioned I was a night porter out there when I just wanted to escape London. I just went to work in a hotel for a while and doing night porter work. And my off days, when I meant to rest, there was an Aussie doing the night portering, and I would join him on his shifts as well, just so that I could evangelize him. And I'd evangelize him night after night, all night. And by the end of the night, he'll just like ask me another question that shows me he didn't take in anything that I just said, you know, for the hours preceding. And so, yeah, I was getting a bit despondent, just asking, Lord, you know, maybe you must just take me home. I've obviously missed it somewhere along the line, probably right there in the beginning when they must drag me away, handcuffed and so on, if you know the story. But, you know, Lord, obviously I must have missed it. Either take me home or I'm going to start looking for a monastery or something where I can just go and try and spend my days in holiness and, you know, just away from these people that are just, yeah. These people that are just, you know, so mocking and wicked, you know, just get me out of here type of a thing. But there's no escaping. The Lord clearly showed me, you know, we've been called to the battleground and we've got to get out there. And each one of us believers, have actually been signed up already. Okay. But I want to encourage you, if you're not there in your head yet, you know, you must go. The registrations are open. You must go and sign up and say, Lord, yes. You know, I haven't really understood it that way, that it's a war out there for people's souls, and that I have a role to play, and I must get out there. You know, it's not about me. It's about your kingdom, God. It's about advancing your kingdom. So there's two kingdoms we're talking about here. God's kingdom and the kingdom of darkness. Okay? And every day, there's flux and tension there at the battleground. People are getting lost. Other people are getting won by God's grace. We need to make sure the kingdom of God advances. When one kingdom advances, another one falls back. Okay? And we don't want God's kingdom to be the one that is falling back. We need to get to the battleground, to the forefront, and go and fight that battle. But we cannot have fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So there's a spirit of fear that man has that comes over man at some point. I don't know. We open ourselves up to that. Anything of the enemy that takes root in our lives is because we've allowed the enemy in. Okay? We're born with a propensity towards sin, with an inclination, with a capacity to be very wicked. And it's not very long when we open ourselves up to that and the enemy starts taking a hold. And fear is one of those things that comes in over time. Spirit that comes over us. And I realized this because when I got saved, I realized that the greatest fear that all of us have when at some point in our lives and then until we die is this fear of death. And there was a massive weight that lifted off my shoulders. I wasn't even aware of the fear of death that I had. But the Lord clearly showed me that it was the fear of death that had lifted, was one of the massive things after I got saved. And so I know that many people are struggling, and many believers still struggle with fears. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. We need to repent of that, and then we need to close that door to the enemy. Because the Lord even overcame death. Like the final frontier, the final fear. Now death is just a transition for us into something that's greater. God's full glory. There's nothing better than that. We've just experienced glimpses of God's glory here. We're going to one day be in His full glory. Death is something we can look forward to. But there's a lot of work that God would like us to partner with Him in before we get there. So we cannot be fearless. You know, the scripture there in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, to share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, Paul admonishes Timothy, encourages him. Our master, our king, suffered greatly. Who are we, his servants, to be exempt from suffering? No, the Bible clearly says we will suffer. As Christ suffered, we will also have suffering in this life. Jesus said that we should rejoice, be exceedingly glad, when we go through many trials and tribulations, many difficulties and hardships, because of what it will do for us. It will build our character. It will make us stronger. To all those who love the Lord will turn around. The hard things in this life will be for our benefit. Okay? We do not have to fear. If I believe that most Christians today would fear things like hardships, difficult circumstances, pain, you know, things like unemployment, these kind of things. Very real difficulties, but also, you know, pain and stuff like the pain and suffering. These things will be things that we would fear. Because in our head, we're not there at the point of death yet until you get a lot closer. But you know, hopefully most believers wouldn't fear death anymore, but would rather, you know, welcome that. But fearing difficulty and hardship and pain, if we get that shift in our head from the beginning that there is going to be suffering, there is a suffering that has been allotted to us. If we make peace with that and we say, you know, bring it on because it's going to be for my good. And if I've got the right attitude towards that, you know, realizing it's not going to continue, you know, that specific instance, not going to continue forever. The Lord will take me through that and bring me out the other side of the valley. And He'll do His work in me in that time. and I'm going to be better off for it. If I make peace with the fact that I'm going to suffer and just change my mindset to that, then I think that'll deal with most of our fear. And we won't have, because often we don't want to get out there. Maybe people are going to mock us. It's going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to get in a few uncomfortable situations. I don't want to stand up for my faith. I don't want to stand up for Christ because it's going to bring tough times against me. It's going to bring tough times my way in the workplace, in the family. You know, I don't want that conflict now. You know, I like things comfortable as they are. We don't talk about these things around the dinner table. You know, for us, in the most part, our suffering amounts to things like that. Our suffering for His name's sake, not unnecessary suffering. If you want to go run the comrades, that's your fault. Okay. I'm talking about what the Lord brings across our path. All right. Suffering for His name's sake. That is blessed. That is good. It's going to happen if I stay in God's will, where I want to be. Just make peace with it. Now you don't have to fear it. Now you bring it on. Okay? It's not going to kill you. It's going to make you stronger. Okay, bring it on. There's a different place, and we need to discern between that. Between suffering for His name's sake, going through trials and tribulations, which God allots and apportions to us, and being attacked by the enemy. When we are attacked by the enemy, it's mostly because we've given him legal access somewhere. Okay? I can actually say, according to the doctrine as I understand it, that it's always, when there's an attack of the enemy, it's because we have given him ground. We've given him a foothold. We've opened a door through sin somehow. Okay. So not all hardship is from the enemy, but some is, and that is all because we've opened a door. What do you do then? You ask the Holy Spirit, help me recognize what happened here, repent of that thing, and shut that door. Renounce it, walk away in another direction. Okay. That's how we deal with the enemy. And you take authority over him. And you command him to leave you like that. You've got the authority. Right. That's a lesson for another day. So we need to discern these things. Not all hardships you're going through is from the enemy. Some God has allotted. But then it's got nothing to do with sin. All right. Okay. So we need to be fearless. A soldier cannot be fearful. As I said, it's interesting, fear grips people more and more seemingly through their lives until at some point you get some very fearful people that are older and so on. I see with Christian in his report card, man, he's getting straight A's, okay? Not that they don't actually give you a mark or something, but it's the best report card I've ever read, better than any of mine were. And one of the things his teacher says is he's fearless. Man, I love seeing that. You know, what a boykie. You know, he climbs up the highest thing and then he wants to jump off. Okay. And he might get a scratch or like sort of a bruise or whatever. That doesn't keep him down for anything. He gets back up there. All right. So it's something that comes over us, you know, over time. You maybe some people are more prone to that than others, but it's something that you kind of learn. You become more and more scared and timid and intimidated. If I do this, that thing might happen. You know, 90% of what we worry about never happens. Okay, and we're scared of taking risks. You have to, in the kingdom of God, you're going to be called to take risks, calculated risks for Jesus. Are you prepared to do that? You're not always going to have the full picture. God is just going to say, go. You better understand there are risks involved. What about a house? What about a job? What about food? What about clothing? God said, go. Certain things, we understand scripture. You don't have to worry about food and clothing. Your tummy is going to be full. You're going to be warm enough, okay, so that you won't die. Might still get cold a little bit, but you're not going to die, all right? But what about the other things? It's a risk. Following Jesus is a risk. There's a cost involved, okay? Salvation is free, but there's a cost in following Christ. Yes, you might get mocked. Yes, you might lose your job. Yes, this might happen, that might happen. Are you prepared to take that risk? It's not about you, it's about Him. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to put your life on the line? As a soldier, the soldiers in the world today, they prepare to die for a cause, for a country, for gaining land, whatever it might be. There's no greater cause to die for than our cause, the cause for Christ. Are we prepared to even suffer for his name's sake? Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Talking about a baptism of suffering. Each one of us will go through that if we follow Christ. Okay, so enlist now. Registration is open. The G of EFG is to be goal-driven. 2 Timothy 2 verse 4, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the recruiter. Okay, we need to stay focused. We need to stay focused. It's very easy to get into a comfort zone time and again as believers in the Western Cape to get into a comfort zone. We live in a very beautiful, recreation-friendly environment with everything at our fingertips. You know, we kind of first world here in the Western Cape in many respects, many suburbs, and we get comfortable. We must look out for getting too comfortable. Stay focused. Stay focused on what we're here for. The only reason I'm still breathing is to advance the cause of Christ, to partner with God in seeing his kingdom come. That is what it's about. Stay focused. But just before you think I'm getting now all task-driven, the next scripture, two verses back. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, Paul says to Timothy, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There's a chain of discipleship that's happening there. Paul says, what I have committed to you, Timothy, you commit to faithful men who will teach others also. There's four chains there, four links there. This is discipleship. This is how the kingdom advances. This is how the battle is won. It's about people, not about me. It's about advancing the kingdom by imparting what I have received to someone else. I'm also receiving from someone, and I'm imparting to someone else. We all find ourselves somewhere in that chain of discipleship. No one's at the top of the chain. That's Jesus and the Holy Spirit teaching us, okay? But we all find ourselves. That is how the kingdom advances. Discipleship, it is about people. And I need to have that mindset that it's not about me. I want to give you an illustration quickly, if I may. I need volunteers. Oopsie. Never mind that. Sorry about that. Pietri, Karin, Uncle Patrick, don't you guys want to come forward? You can stand here on my left. Left. Okay. All right. Not that far left, Petri. Okay. But thanks. I'll just put it down there. Oh, it's dripping a little bit. Thanks for that. Okay. I think we've got contained it. Good. So I've got maybe Karin. Okay, you can stand. Yeah, stand just, yeah, that's right. No, and then, okay, it's fine, that's fine. You stand just a bit back, and then you stand a bit more to this side. Okay, I'm going to ask, okay, Petri and Karin, you guys are together, and I'm Patrick. I'm going to ask you guys each a question, and this question is, your question is your life mission about you? Okay, and I'm going to ask you that a number of times. And each time you must say no, and you must say no, you must say yes. Okay, this is just an example. All right. Okay. And then I'm also going to ask you, the two of you, if your life mission, for instance, I'm going to ask you, is your life mission about Pietri? And you must say yes. And for you, Karin, you must say yes. Okay. So this is, but you'll get what I'm illustrating here. This is a quick, simple example. So, Patrick, is your life mission about you?
No.
You must say yes.
Yes.
Okay, stay there. Is your life mission about you, Pietri?
No.
Is your life mission about you, Karin?
No.
No.
Is your life mission about Pietri?
Yes.
Okay, now you take Pietri's hand. You stand still, but now you pull him past you. You stay where you are. Okay, now you pull Pietri past you. Okay, so you're standing over here now. Okay. Now, Patrick, is your life mission about you?
Yes.
Is your life mission about you?
No.
Your life mission about you?
No.
Your life mission about Karine?
Yes.
Okay, now you take Karine's hand, now you bring her over here. Okay. Okay, one more time. We're getting it. Okay, is your life mission about you?
Yes.
Is your life mission about you?
No.
Is your life mission about you?
No.
Is your life mission about Pietri?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Let's give them a hand. You can sit down, everyone. Sorry. Okay, that's just a little illustration. You know, when life, our lives, is about us, when it's about me, my ambitions, my goals, my objectives, I'm not actively seeking kingdom relationships. I'm not actively seeking someone else's good, someone else's sort of discipleship or impartation to someone else, anything like that. And as far as kingdom advancing is going, I'm staying in one place. When I realize it's not about me, life is not about me, if I go from that standpoint, I'm immediately looking around, well, who is it about? Who around me can I impart to? Who can I bless? We can only impart. Okay, this is something interesting. You teach what you know, you impart what you are. Okay, but you can only give of yourself. Okay, if I am saved and know nothing else, I can still help someone who's unsaved get to that place of salvation. I can point them to Jesus. I can share my experience with them. Okay, but so as soon as I realize it's not about me, I'm looking around. Who are the people God has placed in my life and what can I impart? What can I teach? I can immediately take that person's hand and I can propel them forward, you know. And my prayer is always, and it's like for my children and so on, is that my ceiling would be their floor. I want them to go further than what I'm going. Okay. And the same way, when we disciple one another, you know, really, if there is someone in your life who's willing, who's teachable, bless that person with everything you know. We don't have to keep any secrets here. To try and be one step ahead of someone else. We teach, you know, that's sometimes maybe I preach too long. It's because I try and share everything I can share each time. That's why often I repeat myself as well. I'm just trying to share what I know, you know, trying to teach. And that is how the kingdom's advancing. You saw that. Now the kingdom's advancing. No, it's not about me. Oh, it's about you. I can help you. And we end up, you know, 50,000 kilometers further down the road than someone for whom their life mission is just about themselves. If you're a believer with that mindset, you've got to know that you're not going to advance the kingdom of God. Okay, it's not about me. Everyone say, it's not about me. It's not about me. Amen. Okay, so we almost finished. Okay, maybe just finally, just one last pointer. Let's add a H, EFGH, holding true. Okay. Holding true. What the Lord has in store for us, the path that He has chosen for us, is not going to be an easy one. We read the scripture about the suffering. Paul commending, admonishing Timothy. Timothy, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be willing, be prepared to share in that suffering. Okay, this is our lot as believers. But it's blessed. Okay, but we need to man up and share in that suffering. But holding true to the course and the path that the Lord has for you. It's not always going to be easy, okay? We need to stick to it. Stick to your guns. Okay, don't look back. Keep focused on the task at hand. Philippians 3, 13 to 16. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Next. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way, and if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Okay, you can go back. Live up to or hold true to your revelation. God will judge us on our revelation. Unfortunately for you sitting here today, now you know. Okay. You know there's suffering. You know you've been called to battle. And God will hold us to that revelation as it's revealed to us in our hearts. We need to stay true to the calling of God on our life. We need to stay true to the revelation God has given us. And Paul is a brilliant example of this, of persevering, come what may. No matter what adversity comes his way, he held true to his calling. Till he finally said, I'm being poured out like a drink offering now. I've come to the end of my life, but I remain faithful to my calling. Okay, and it'll be awesome if we can say the same. The Lord says to us, the greatest compliment, when we die, if the Lord says to us, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you've been faithful with what I gave you to do. That will be such an awesome compliment. That is what we're gunning for. Okay, to stay true, hold true to the course that God has given you. Now, we kind of have a coming to our senses moment, like the prodigal son, and we realize, but I too have wandered off of the course. I've stepped out of God's will for my life. I find myself on a bit of a detour here. Well, then may we do the same as the story of the lost son and return to the Father's house and his embrace and get that identity, that cloak of identity back, and the ring of authority on our finger and the sandals of destiny and the calling that we're walking on our feet again, and get back on that path. Okay. If we find ourselves on that detour, it's simple. We repent. We ask the Lord to restore us to his path and the destiny that he has for us. Jesus didn't die in vain. I know that. Because there's many believers that are good and saved today. They received their salvation, the free gift from the Lord, and they're pursuing their destinies in Christ with everything that they've got, being prepared even to put their lives on the line, being prepared even to be martyred for the Lord. Many hundreds of thousands of believers that are in that frame of mind, having the same mind as Christ, Philippians 2. Okay. And that's where we want to get to. And it's sometimes tricky for us, yeah, in the, you know, South Africa, sometimes comfortable environment that we find ourselves in. Okay, but the darkness is going to get darker. And we're going to have to start standing up for our faith more and more. You'll find. And when you say yes to the Lord, when you say, yes, I'm your soldier, God. Yes, I will. I will go to the battleground for you. I'm prepared to share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay? We're all soldiers. You're either a good soldier or a bad soldier. I'm prepared to share in the suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you're prepared, stand with me tonight. If you want that, if you want to say, yes, Lord, use me on the battlefield. Each of us have a different calling. Each of us have a different sphere of influence to live it out in, a different group of people around us. But remember that picture and start taking the hands of the people around you and start propelling them forward. Start sharing the revelation that you have received with the people around you. Start winning the battle for their souls. Don't take all that weight on yourself to see that person come to salvation. That is the Lord's battle. That is what the Lord has already won at the cross, as we remember that even this weekend. But what he asked us to do is to partner with him as a good soldier, and ministering to the people around us, witnessing. Just witness. Just share what you have received. Holy Spirit will do the rest. Amen. Don't you want to stand with me? And in your heart, if you want to take that stand, maybe more firmly than before, maybe want to make a renewed commitment to fight the good fight of faith, to fight the good fight out there for people around you. And take that stand in your heart now. You take that stand. You consecrate. You commit yourself to the Lord for the battle. Lord, I pray that you'll just, by your Spirit, bring understanding and revelation of the fact that we're all in a war. We're in a battle. And that there's people dying around us. And Lord, we are so grateful tonight that we are counted amongst the victory. We are counted amongst your children. You've been so faithful towards us, Lord. But we recognize that we are still here because there's still a fight to be fought. And it's in the spiritual, Lord. But Lord, you have armed us and equipped us, Lord, to go out into the battle, Lord. And Father, we don't want to be wicked and lazy servants, Lord. We want to be good and faithful servants, Lord. We want to be prepared to share in the suffering as good soldiers of you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us that liberty and that grace to do that, Lord. Holy Spirit, search our hearts. I pray, Lord, by your grace, Lord, that you'll bring into line with your word, Lord, if we have strayed in terms of our thinking in this area. Lord, if it's become somehow more about us and our comfort, our ambitions, our goals, our objectives, than what it is about your cause, Christ. Help us, Lord, to come in line with your word. Help us to come in line with your will for our lives. If you feel a urgency in your heart tonight, if something is resonating with you just in terms of what we shared tonight, and you want to say, yes, Lord, you know, I want to be counted amongst those soldiers, then you just raise your hand. You just raise your hand. Say, yes, Lord, here I am. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for calling me with a holy calling. Thank you for your protection and your provision every day. Thank you that I do not need to fear the enemy or death itself. But Lord, I'm prepared. And I pray by your grace and I purpose in my heart to do what you have asked of me. Holy Spirit, prompt me. Reveal to me what I should do. The people you've placed in my life that you want me to minister to witness to. As I step out in battle, thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak through me. I make myself available right now. I commit myself anew to live for you. And I declare, as Paul, that I've been crucified with Christ. That it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live to God, who loved me and gave himself for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We might be few in number, but how about a battle shout for Jesus? On 3, 2, 1. Jesus! Okay. God bless you. Love to pray with you. If you have any prayer needs or you'd like to commit your life to Christ, please come pray with me. There's some delicious cake before you go home. God bless you guys, eh?